We are turning this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and to verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And if we can just look on also to verses 17 to 19, where the phrase that we're going to focus on this morning is repeated. Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, Paul here gives to Timothy a whole sequence of exhortations, of commands, that he is to take to heart, to take seriously in his Christian walk. And of course, these come down to us. He begins in verse 11, the sequence that we're particularly concerned about. But you, O man of God, O man of God, someone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been changed, who has become a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is here described as a man and indeed also a woman of God. You, O man of God, lay hold on eternal life. This is one of the great obligations, the great duties, the exhortations that Paul gives to Timothy, and it's so vital for us. Well, the term lay hold, I'm not sure if this is quite the right expression, but it's actually quite an aggressive word. When we're commanded, when we're exhorted to lay hold on eternal life, we are to seize it. We are to grasp it and to hold it fast. We are, as it were, to allow nothing to get into our way, nothing to obstruct us, nothing to prevent us from grasping hold on eternal life. That hold that we're to take on eternal life is to be very tenacious. It's ongoing. It isn't in a vigorous manner to take hold of it and then to let it go, to slip through your fingers, to relinquish your grasp upon it. No, you are to lay hold of it, you are to take hold of it, and you are to maintain that grasp. You are to maintain that hold and hold it tenaciously. This is something that we are to do in an ongoing way, in an abiding way, to lay hold on eternal life. Now here, as I've indicated, Paul is addressing us as those who are Christians, those who are already passed from death to life. He says to us who have found the Saviour, who have trusted in him, that we are to lay hold on eternal life. But there's no doubt, in verse 12, having said lay hold on eternal life, he says, to which you were also called. He refers back to their conversion. And I really can't pass on before giving an exhortation to any here who are not yet believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Although this doesn't, strictly speaking, describe how we come to trust in the Saviour, how we come to an experience of his grace in our lives, there is something in this which is most helpful to any who are concerned about their souls and seeking after his pardon and forgiveness. We are told to lay hold, to take a firm grasp on, to pursue until we can have eternal life. And it's that encouragement that I just want to impart to any who are outside of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ just now. If you want the forgiveness of your sins, this is a serious business. This is something that is going to involve on your part endeavour, effort. Not that that effort, that endeavour will save you, but you've got to show the genuineness, your sincerity, the urgency of your need, how much you feel that you need the pardon and forgiveness of your souls by laying hold on eternal life. For you now, this must become the most important thing. The one thing that fills your vision. I must have eternal life. The one source from which that eternal life comes. I must have Jesus Christ, his pardon and forgiveness. That's what it is to lay hold on eternal life. So go to prayer. And as you pray to God to forgive your sins, as you confess your sins before him, show him how serious you are. Hold nothing back. Put all else to one side and lay hold on eternal life. Well, that's my exhortation to those who as yet are outside of the kingdom. But as we think of its application to all here who are believers, there are three elements that I'd like us to focus upon regarding this text. Lay hold on eternal life. Each one of us, if we would be stable, if we would be sincere, if we would be assured Christian believers, if we would be those who make progress in the spiritual life, we need to be those who lay hold on eternal life. And the first thing I'd like to draw your attention to is quite simply this. In order to lay hold on eternal life, we must let go of other things. There are some things that we are going to have to relinquish our grasp of, so that with two hands and with all the power that we can muster, we can lay hold on eternal life. You see, for Christian believers, there are many things which attempt to steal away our time, our attention, to distract us from these vital, these important things, to lay hold on eternal life. One of the great things that needs to be let go of is worldly ambition. Oh, we see, sadly, so many Christians, so many who have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see the life that they're living, you can see, sadly, and I'm speaking to myself here as much as to anyone else, you can see, sadly, that maybe for a season, for a period, we've become distracted by the world and its things, and success on its scale have become important to us. Perhaps its career. And we're pursuing worldly ambition by seeking to advance. And that for us has become all important. Now we have to be careful, of course. We have to provide for our family. That's a duty. That's found in the Word of God. And even in addressing the rich, in verse 17, we're told that God gives us richly all things to enjoy, but they must be kept in proportion. They must never distract us. They must never become the big thing, the dominant thing in our thinking, in our planning, in our time, in our resources, in our energy. No, the one thing that for us is important is to lay hold on eternal life. And we know in our heart of hearts that if we're to do that, then all these other things have got to become secondary. Yes, they're important up to a point, but they're secondary. And I'll forego an advancement in the workplace. I'll forego certain comforts, certain pleasures in this world, so that I can focus more exclusively on laying hold on eternal life. Now the world is very crafty, and it creeps up upon us. It's very stealthy. It comes and it presents itself so attractively. And before we know it, we're distracted and we're drawn aside from this pursuit of laying hold on eternal life. and we find ourselves immersed far too much in the things of this world. Well, these are things that we must sit light to. Our hold of these things must be very light indeed. Now, there are things in this life and in this world that we should let go of, that we should abandon, that we should jettison, have nothing to do with at all. Our sin. And we need to examine our hearts and honestly look at our character and the people that we've been. Examining our hearts and seeing, how have I conducted myself? What sin have I become embroiled in? What sin have I been playing with and I'm now enjoying, or it's become for me a habit and it's become something that I have a hold upon that? And if I've got a hold upon that, I can't lay hold in the way that is required on eternal life. No, I must let go of that completely. And with the Lord's help and confessing that sin and appealing to him for the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to put that out of my life. So there are some things where we hold a light grasp. There are other things that we want to let go of entirely. Surely we can put into that category of jettisoning entirely this world's culture, its aspirations, many of its pleasures which are carnal, sinful, anti-God. Oh, there's so much, and it's all around us. And we are in it because it's on the hoardings, it's on the TV, it's everywhere that we look. But we've got to be careful in shunning those things, setting aside those things, not being drawn into any of those things, relinquishing our hold of so much so that we can then take firm grasp of eternal life. Well, that's all on the negative side. Let's think then a little more positively. We're called here to take hold on eternal life positively. To take hold on eternal life. Now, for an outsider, for someone who has little interest in spiritual things, eternal life is a rather airy-fairy concept, pie in the sky, something that you might, like when you try to pick up an eel, you might kind of have it in your grasp for a moment and then it slips from you. But of course, that's not what this is talking about here. This is not something that is hard or difficult. This isn't something that will evade our grasp, something otherworldly, something that is kind of transcendental in any sense. No, this is reality. This is what it is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at verses like John chapter 6 and verse 47, you have these words of the Saviour: "He who believes in me has everlasting life." Have you ever really thought about what the Saviour is saying there? Sometimes we think of everlasting life, of eternal life, as something that is to come. When I come to the end of my life here, at death, I will enter everlasting life. But that's not what the Saviour says. He who believes in me has everlasting life. All who have trusted in him, all who have gone to him for the forgiveness of sins, have everlasting life, even now. And so when Paul says to us, lay hold on everlasting life, what he really means is, comprehend what it is that you have. Have clear conceptions of what it means to be forgiven. Fully enter into the experience that is yours as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else, seeking to live your life as though eternal life is something merely to come, you're only half a Christian. You're only experiencing a fraction of what it means to be blessed by the forgiveness of your sins. So when Paul says, lay hold on eternal life This isn't something otherworldly. This is to enter fully into the experience that we have as Christian believers. In 1 John 5, verse 12, the same idea is expressed. He who has the Son has life. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is your Lord, if he is your Saviour, you have eternal life. You have everlasting life. And Paul here is merely saying, grasp it, understand it, enter fully into that experience, enjoy all that it means. Even the most famous verse of the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When does that everlasting life get given to those who come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, now. They have it from the very moment that they believe. They don't have to wait until the end of life's journey or when the Lord shall return. And Paul is here saying, grasp it. It's even passed into our English language, haven't we? We talk about grasping a concept. Understand it. And that's what Paul wants us to do. Understand and enter into what it means to be someone who has everlasting life. Paul goes on in verse 12 to say, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called. This has been purchased for you. It has been prepared for you. It is there for you. Or enter fully into the experience of eternal life. And how do we do that? Well, we are those who as Christians seek our all in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we came to him for salvation, setting aside all our own righteousness, our imagined good works, setting aside all hope that we could in any way contribute to our salvation, looking only to him. Well, in the same way that we came for salvation, he fills our horizons. He is everything to us. The blessings that he has secured are so wonderful. We remind ourselves constantly that we are forgiven, that we are those who have been called by him to salvation, called to know his nearness, called to know his friendship, his guidance, his help in our lives, called to understand him as he's revealed to us in his word, called to know the presence and the help of the Holy Spirit as we go through our pathway here on the earth, and as we are aware and as we fix our attention and we depend upon those things, that's what it is more positively to lay hold on eternal life. Verse 19, in addressing the rich, well, there Paul says that in doing this, they are storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they might lay hold on eternal life. To live seriously as a Christian believer, trusting in the Saviour, depending entirely upon him, well, that's what it is to lay hold upon eternal life, to have that good foundation, even now, to be conscious that what I'm doing, the way I'm living my life, is a preparation, is an entering into, in measure, the experience of all that will happen in the eternal realm. When the end of time comes, when Christ shall return, or when this, for me, this life shall come to an end, is there going to be a step change in my experience? Well, this exhortation seems to indicate that there shouldn't be, that we should be beginning to enjoy and to have an awareness of eternal life even here while we're in this present world. Yes, we'll see him face to face. Yes, we'll be with the others who have gone before us, who praise him in the eternal realm. Yes, we'll be given at the end of time on that great day of judgment, resurrection bodies, different and yet similar to those that we have now, that we'll be able to enjoy and to relish these things all the more deeply and more wonderfully. But to lay hold on eternal life is to be conscious of all these blessings, even now, while we walk here upon this earth. Oh, don't wait. Don't put off the experience and the enjoyment of what in measure we can experience now. Paul exhorts us, lay hold on eternal life. But there's a third and final element that I'd like to speak about for a few moments. I hope I'm not pressing the point too far, but perhaps we can see it also in this way. Lay hold of eternal life for others. You see, when Paul addresses those who are rich and the exhortations to be given to them, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, for in this way they store up for themselves a good foundation and lay hold on eternal life. Laying hold on eternal life for others, even in our verse, verse 12, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, but look at this, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We have an experience of eternal life, and surely to lay hold on eternal life is to have a concern that others too would share in that experience. And, as it were, to lay hold on eternal life for them too. I remember reading in a sermon, an address given by C.H. Spurgeon, and it's something my own pastor at home often says. He says, pray them in. Pray them in. Pray for the lost. Pray for those who you're concerned for. They're not going to be praying for themselves. They're not going to suddenly develop a concern for spiritual things from within themselves. Pray for them. Be concerned. Pour out your heart before the Lord. Lay hold on eternal life on their behalf. And have such concern and love for the lost that you will not let them go. You will not let the Lord go until they are saved. Who are you concerned for? Who is on your heart? Is there someone in your family who's a rebel against the Lord, who's turned their backs upon all that they were taught as a young person? To lay hold on eternal life is to say, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to besiege the throne of grace for this one until thou wilt hear, until thou wilt bless, until thou wilt save. I will not let thee go, except thou wilt bless me. Lay hold on eternal life for those in your family. Is there someone in the workplace? Someone among your colleagues where you study? Someone among your friends and your neighbours? And you've had an opportunity to witness to them, to speak to them. Will you lay hold on eternal life on their behalf? Lord, thou didst give me this opportunity to share my testimony with my neighbour. Oh Lord, now visit them with salvation. Bless them. Prompt them with concern for their soul. Show them something of their sin and their need. Do what I can't do. Work in their hearts and bring them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's as though we say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to take responsibility for this person in prayer, and I'm going to plead with thee. for them. That's what it is, on behalf of others, to lay hold on eternal life. What about as a church? What about the community? What about the countless unsaved and disinterested, apathetic souls, materially prosperous but spiritually impoverished, that surround this building, who have never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ other than in blasphemy? Will you, for them, lay hold on eternal life, and as a fellowship, and as individuals within the fellowship, say, Lord, for them, I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. And each one that you see, you could almost weep. You could almost weep as they pass the place, completely unaware that here the light of the gospel shines forth. But you'll pray for them. You'll walk the streets and push the invitations through the letterboxes. You'll knock the doors. You'll face the rejection, the hostility, the derision, the scorn of those whom you encounter, because you're laying hold on their behalf of eternal life and seeking God's blessing upon them. You see, when Paul speaks of the rich, I'm afraid we're all comprehended under that term. Compared to the richest in Paul's day, even the poorest person in our day is rich. And so as those who are spiritually rich, we have so many material comforts. We are rich. We are not to be haughty, not to be superior, not to be proud, not to think anything of ourselves, because God has dealt in grace with us. We're not to trust in uncertain riches, but we're to trust in the living God, in his message, in his grace. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Let us do good. What is it to do good? To help old ladies across the street? No. That's not what Paul has in mind here. To do good is to be engaged in the work of the Lord, that they be rich in good works, bringing the gospel to a lost generation, ready to give, open-handed, concerned to impart something of the truth, even in the face of hostility and rejection, willing to share. Oh, we have been given so much. Will we keep it for ourselves? Will we lay hold on eternal life? Will we enjoy our blessings of conversion and salvation and say, thank you very much, Lord, and hoard it? No, we must share. We must go out. We must take that and give it to others also. And in that way, we store up a good foundation for the time to come. You know, anything we do in this life is temporary, transient. I've just built outside of my house a deck. It took a lot of time, preparation, resources. It's finished. I'm very pleased with the result. But I know that unless I maintain it, it's going to very quickly deteriorate. Everything that we do is subject to decay. And you can apply that to absolutely anything. Anything that you achieve, anything that you accomplish, is eventually going to be either superseded, it's going to fall apart, it's going to become irrelevant. But to be someone who, on behalf of others, lays hold on eternal life, who brings the gospel, shares the blessings that we've enjoyed with others and brings them in, prays them in, has that heart of concern for all the lost, well, that is the one thing that is lasting and enduring. Because every boy, every girl who in the Sunday school is taught the saving truth about Jesus Christ and trusts him in their simple little way is a trophy of grace and will last for all eternity. Every person that we speak to, oh, they may reject us, but a seed has been sown in their hearts. Who knows? But someone else who has that same concern encounters that same person a few days, a few weeks, a few months later, and they speak to them, and the Lord uses each element to bring that person to himself. Every soul saved, a trophy of grace, goes on into eternity, will join with us in that great choir of eternal praise to our dear Saviour. Only gospel work, only work for our Saviour, only laying hold on eternal life for the lost, for those who are unconcerned, is enduring. It lays up a foundation for the time to come so that we may truly lay hold on eternal life. So Paul says to us, as he said to Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. Let go anything else that will distract you. Seize that which you already have, that is already your blessing in Christ, eternal life. Enter into the full enjoyment of that eternal life and then share it with others. Bring the gospel to others, that eternal life. Well, may the Lord help us as individuals and as a church fully to lay hold on eternal life. Let's pray.